absolute delight to be here. I'm going to start out with a song which is probably one of the most autobiographical songs that I sing. And it may be a story that sounds somewhat familiar to you. And if you like, you may join in on the chorus. And that's what this song is all about. It's called "Why Don't You Sing in the Chorus?" Reminisce just a little bit. It was 23 years ago that I was last at Golden Village. And I came as a staff person. I worked for 3 weeks when I was 20 years old in college. And things have changed a little bit. I noticed that you all moved the mountains. They were closer in before. I noticed you moved them back just a bit. And there weren't any mosquitoes or nearby. I'm sure I would remember that. I remember the time when I was a student at PLU, and I was just going into my junior year and thinking a lot about what I was going to do. And my hobby was playing the guitar. And I really learned here because a friend who was also on staff, and she and I ran the ice cream shop, and she would come, and together we'd go practice when we had spare time. I was just learning guitar then, never dreaming it would become my vocation. I remember standing up in front of the whole community, scared stiff, to sing The Lord of the Dance, which was the first time we'd been brought to Golden Village. And how proud I was to get through that whole song. A lot of fond memories. What I mostly remember was community, and a sense of joyful community, a sense of interest with people of all ages, coming together in such a creative, peaceful way. It was totally unique to my experience, and certainly the image of that was burned deeply into my consciousness and has certainly pervaded everything that I've done since. So I owe a real debt of gratitude to this place, and I can't tell you how moved I am, how thrilled I am to be back here once more and to be able to give back to you a little of what I've been doing over the past 23 years. It's actually 20 years that I've been doing this as a musician, composer, and performer. I remember dreaming a lot, and a lot after that, I started thinking a lot about women's lives, and started thinking a lot about women's experiences. One thing that came through to me, especially when I chose the vocation that I did, I had a whole lot more choices to what to do with my life than my mother had. And it was at a time, gosh, about 18 years ago, I was singing for a very brief period of time as a rock band. This, I think, was in a previous incarnation, I'm not sure. It didn't last long. And one time when I was singing with a band, I was singing and my mother was listening to me. And as I sang, I was watching her, and she was watching me, and there was such a strong bond, such a strong connection. And so at the break, I came down, we talked, and she said, you know, when I was young, what I really wanted to be was a singer in a big band. So this song grew out of that conversation. It's called Mama Wanted to Be a Rainbow Dancer. Thank you. lives. And this next one, it's kind of a birthday song. My mother and my mother-in-law and I used to celebrate our birthdays 3 days apart, all day together. They were all in October. And one year was a particularly important one because my mother was turning 60 and my mother-in-law was turning 70 and I was creeping, hurtling towards 40. On a path that was just heading me down. There was nothing I could do. And I wasn't, even though I'd been meditating on this for years and thought that this was another sign that I was reaching wise old womanhood or something, but it didn't hit me like that. I think that's because in our society there's so little affirmation for that process of growing older, particularly for women, that all you have to do is look at the amount of money spent on wrinkle remover in our society in this past year. It's staggering. Look at the amount that's been spent to convince women to take the gray out of our hair. And so it's somehow not polite to show your age. And yet, as I look around me, the older people that I know, men and women, it certainly didn't those gray heads to have offered me a whole lot of wisdom, strength, and inspiration. So the song is an affirmation for all of us as we go through those transitions. I'm past 40 now. It feels great on the other side. For any of you who might be heading that race, it's fine. called the Washington Women's Heritage Project. There was an attempt to kind of put back in the history books some of the history of women that had been left out. And they did this by using very different kind of sources. They went to the diaries and the letters, to the old photograph albums, to talking to women about their lives, to the songs that were passed on. These are all ways of finding out about the histories of people who so traditionally were left out of the history books, not only women. So it was a wonderful project to be a part of. And they put together a wonderful photographic exhibit which traveled around the state, and I gave concerts around the state based on this theme. And I was moved by one quote that I read. It was a woman who worked at Boeing. She was a Rosie the Riveter. My mother was too. She worked out in Tacoma and she was a truck mechanic. And these were the women, for people who don't know, these are the women who took the place of the men when they went to the middle and went off to war. They did the jobs that men had traditionally done. And in many cases earned those kind of wages, and there would really be no turning back for these women entering the workforce, even though there was a tremendous propaganda campaign, which many of you may remember, after World War II, to convince women to go back to their home. It never really happened. And this was a quote from a woman who worked at Boeing. It got like this. The day the war ended, every woman in there got it. Lead man came around and said, "Francis, you can hang up your torch. The war is over. Boys are coming home. You can go home now." So I picked up a piece of scrap iron and I carved my initial in it. This was to be my proof to my children and my great-grandchildren that I really was a burden in the wartime. I don't know anything else about her particular story, so I made one. They call it Rosie the Riveter Revisited. My strong right arm built the ship that sailed to war. My strong right arm built the ship, and what was that all for? In 1941, the war had just begun. Jim was so young, but soon was off to hold a gun. I was 19, our child was only 3, when the paper said the shipyards needed me. I moved to Bremerton in 1942. I learned to weld. I was the best one on our crew. The work was hard, the heat would burn my lungs all day. But when the paycheck came, we girls would feel okay. In 1943, in August, 8 a.m., I'd not been sleeping well. My mind was filled with Jim. There was an old a man in uniform stood there. He said my Jim was dead. I hadn't seen him in 2 years. In 1945, the war came to an end. And on that very day, the big boss, he came in. He smiled and said, "My girls, the boys are coming home. You've earned a rest, go home. Your work here now is done." Picked up a scrap of metal, and I carved my name full bore, so my child would know I was a welder in the war. No place to go, I was a widow with a child, so I waitressed and I cooked, and I married in a while. Sometimes I see that scrap with my name carved in so deep, and I recall the day the boss told me to leave, how I felt like some old rag they tossed aside, as useless as my patriotic pride. My strong right arm built the ship that sailed to war. My strong right arm built the ship, and what was that all for? When I came in and went to orientation yesterday, there was quite a contingent of people from Minnesota. And I've been, I shouldn't be all that surprising, but I've been, with my partner lives in, or used to live in Iowa, his parents live there, so I've been traveling back from Minnesota to Iowa quite a bit lately in the airport, friends. And when the draft hit last year, I asked him how, and his where a lot of his relatives were farming corn and soybeans, and one of them were hard hit. And I said, how do the men react, you know, to this? And how do they, the stress that they must be under? I sort of imagined how the women might, and how might the men? And he said, they get real quiet. They just get real quiet. So that was for the image that I grabbed onto to create a song about that. It's called The Drought. There's a silence in the kitchen, and a silence in my soul. Yes, I never felt so lonely, and I never felt so old. Tommy's sitting at the table, and he's looking at the bills. If this blessed heat don't get him, then a broken spirit. Songs back in college, and we're still singing the same songs. Have a great time. Wild and raucous. Too much. One thing that came out of, I was listening to some women talking around me last few meals. One of the first meals, one of the women said, well, the reason I come here is somebody else cooks. It's wonderful. Three meals a day. Oh, I can relate to that. Then I heard some other women today talking about how, you know, nobody eats that much anymore, you know. Just don't worry. There's better things to do than keep a clean house. And I can relate to that, too. I have two daughters who are talented, bright, smart, pretty, model children. But every once in a while, when I do get in one of those rare moods to pick up, it does drive me crazy. Of course, these days, I think they pick up after me as much as I think of after them. But anyway, this song was written when they were younger. This is no longer a problem. One day Kristen was out and back from having one taken, that I very quickly put together a sandwich that I thought was sufficient, and stuck it out in front of her, and went about my business. Kane sat down across the picnic table from her, and kind of stared at her, and I could see the wheels were turning. She was about 5 years old at the time. Wheels were going around, and finally she said, "Why do I spend my life out in this storm and strife, eating old sandwiches covered with mold, full of bugs and slugs, and 9 days old? I got better things to do than to eat up after you." Trying to work a job that's a little unstable, and keeping us all together was a little scary, a lot scary. And one fear that I had was the children coming home to an empty house. So I would go through a lot to make sure that I or someone would be there. And there would be always a few times when we'd miss connections, and I'd come home maybe a couple of hours late, thinking someone was going to be there, thinking the door was unlocked, and seeing them sitting sobbing on the steps, which happened a time or two. And to start thinking about all of the people who work, whose children fall in that category of latchkey kids, which is people who can't afford child care, they can't afford adequate child care for, and work too. All the people caught in these impossible binds that they're put in. So it's the problem that in Congress they were working for solutions. There's been the ABC bill, there's been, I don't know where all that sits right now. But if there's, as I said, a song doesn't give a solution. It simply paints a picture of the problem. In Bellingham, it's estimated that there are 1,000 children between the ages of 5 and 9. We fall in that category of latchkey kids. So I hope you'll all be working on a solution. Here's a picture of the problem. It's called After School.
Jennifer Martin walked up to
one that I thoroughly endorsed, and they still have the courage to stand up on the stage. This is my daughter Jennifer, and this is her sister Kristen, who's 9. And Jennifer especially asked to introduce this next song.
Well, okay, we're gonna do a song called the Dandelion Song, and, is that right? Okay, yeah, the Dandelion Song, and, we're driving down to Everett, and my mom said that she wanted us to do a song about, dandelions, and so we started to work on the song, and we came up with the Dandelion Song, and when we were on our way to a concert, and when we got there, we sang that song for everybody. And so we're gonna sing that song for you.
So this is truly a group effort. We all three wrote this together. They wrote the tune, wrote a good share, came up with a good share of the idea. So I know a little bit.
And it's. There's one part about, what's her name? The lady's name. Well, Kathy Maynard. And her husband was Doc Maynard, and she had an herbal garden, and in her herbal garden was a dandelion. And so she was the one that brought the dandelions to Washington.
For which we are forever grateful. I should say just a little bit to that is part of the work that I'm doing. The next few songs are songs that are Washington songs, and that's been a good share of how I've made my living in the past 2 or 3 years. It's been collecting and putting together songs about Washington, or songs that report in Washington's history, and compiled this book called Washington Songs and Lore. You're not hearing much from that collection tonight. Rosie the River is actually in that, and a song we'll sing a little later. But that's how we got on that theme. This year, I've been commissioned to write 18 new songs about Washington and its history. So the dandelion figures is an important part of our history.
Well, flowers come in green and pink and red, and they sleep all day in their little flower bed. But the little dandelion grows wild and free with her uncles and her cousins and the whole family. Oh, dandy, 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 dandelion, something pretty dandy about you. Doodly doodly doo. Dandy, 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 dandelion, wish that there were more of you. First I make a wish, then I blow real hard. Then the little dandelions blow all over the yard. And I wait and I hope for my wish to come true. Guess there's only so much a dandelion can do. Oh, dandy, 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 dandelion, something pretty dandy about you. Doodly doodly doo. Dandy, 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 dandelion, wish that there were more of you. In the 1800s, things were bleak and bare. Not a little dandelion anywhere. But Kathy Maynard knew the dandelion's cure, so she brought them to Washington, and we thank her. Oh, dandy, 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 dandelion, something pretty dandy about you. Dandy, 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 dandelion, wish that there were more of you. You know, really cool, and dandelion haters should go back to school. Oh, dandy, 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 dandelion, something pretty dandy about you. Dandy, 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 dandelion, wish that there were more of you. You can make them into necklaces and bracelets too. You can make them into laces to tie your shoe. You can make them into salad greens and dandelion tea. That's why dandelions are for me. Oh, dandy, 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 dandelion. Something pretty dandy about you. Dooly doody doo. Dandy, 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 dandelion. Wish that there were more of you. Oh, I wish that there were more of you. Hand motions to the chorus.
And it's easier to learn if you try the hand motions too.
Dig a duck, dig a duck, dig a gooey duck, dig a duck, dig a gooey duck, dig a duck a day. Dig a duck, dig a duck, dig a gooey duck, dig a duck, dig a gooey duck, dig a duck a day. Dig a duck, dig a duck. Dig a gooey duck, dig a duck, dig a gooey duck, dig a duck a day. Dig a duck, dig a duck, dig a gooey duck, dig a duck, dig a gooey duck, dig a duck a day.
Thank you. woman who about a year ago found out that she had cancer and was quite frightened, went through a lot of chemotherapy, was very touch and go as to whether she would make it at all. And she has recovered, she's about fully recovered. But I went to see her when she was in the midst of all the therapy, and I went to see her to try and somehow comfort her. And I went away having learned such lessons. So this is just a short song, and I think a fairly singable chorus. And what she learned. Wrote right back saying, sorry, we do not accept women. And that was a harsh reality. Somehow I hadn't quite realized. I mean, I had noticed that I didn't see too many women in the pulpit, but somehow I didn't know that it had been legalized or whatever. I dropped that idea. But a few years later, roomed with Karen Bloomquist, who was going to seminary in Berkeley. So I was learning a lot from her experiences as well as my own, and put together this song way back then. It's a little different than I probably would write it today, but for historic purposes, I think the message was the thing in those days. No matter how rough the song, you were trying to put off a boundary. You were doing what folk songs always done. It's trying to be the voice of people who feel they had no voice. Trying to get out the word of people from ordinary. We're going to be talking a lot more about this stuff in the workshop tomorrow. So this was, I'll sing just a few verses. You can get the idea of it right away. Wouldn't it be nice if the next Jesus Christ came down?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.